This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
This doesn't just impact the U.S. industry. This actually impacts the global market. And because the U.S. is a major consumer for these panels, if the price is going up and it slows global production and drives up prices and solar investment around the world and in the U.S. at a time we need to be transitioning to cleaner fuels and cleaner energy sources, that would be devastating, even if it is a shorter term impact, because we're talking about the next 4 years.
I don't know about you, but whenever I see a headline that the Trump administration has made a new announcement, I generally assume that it's bad news before I even read the article. This week on Sea Change Radio, we dig deeper into one of those recent headlines and see how bad the news actually is. The decision to impose a 30% tariff on solar panels and solar cells coming from overseas is a move that leaves most renewable energy advocates apoplectic. While some might point out that imposing the tariff could give an advantage to U.S.-based solar component producers, many believe that the overall impact of this tariff will be to slow the expansion of solar power and to extend our reliance on fossil fuels further into the 21st century. The Trump administration points to the news that Chinese solar manufacturer Jinko Solar is building an American factory as quote-unquote proof that the tariff is the right move. But is this simply a straw man argument? We discuss the ramifications of the change with Mother Jones environmental reporter Rebecca Lieber, and delve into the best and worst case scenarios of the policy decision. We also get Lieber's insight into the political future of EPA head Scott Pruitt, who's appearing before the Senate this week for an oversight hearing. I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by Rebecca Lieber. She's a reporter at Mother Jones. Rebecca, welcome back to Sea Change Radio.
Thanks for having me on.
So you just authored an article recently entitled "Trump Just Announced a Plan That Could Cripple the Solar Industry." What is the plan and why would somebody want to cripple the solar industry?
So Trump announced the other week that he was putting in place a 30% tariff on all imports of solar modules and panels. And that tariff would decrease over the next 4 years by 5 percentage points. But in the short term and the medium term, it could, and the solar industry predicts it will have a major impact on investment, jobs, because the U.S. solar industry, when we are talking about the jobs it creates, we're talking about the people who are installing these panels. But most of the U.S. industry is relying on imported panels, and specifically the much cheaper panels over the last few years that have been responsible for a big boom in U.S. installations. So this move has big implications for the industry and people employed in it. The Trump administration has framed this as part of the bringing back jobs and creating jobs by putting tariffs on these imports and leveling that playing field. But because of the factors I was just laying out on how most of the industry is relying on these imported panels to create those jobs, there's a lot of tension there in what he's claiming it does and what we can expect it to do.
Can you clarify? There was one sentence in your article I didn't understand. It said about 98% of the industry now relies on these imports, with more than a third of them from China. So almost all of the panels are imported, but about a third of them come from China. Is that right?
Yeah, yes.
Okay. So is this a tariff just on Chinese panels, or is it all imported solar panels, Rebecca?
It's all imported solar panels, and that's why Trump is facing a possible lawsuit at the World Trade Organization over this move, because other countries are going to bring, and these foreign manufacturers are going to bring a lawsuit over this pretty rare move for the U.S. So this hits the whole market. China is a huge factor in the U.S. solar industry boom the last decade. So China is a major player, but not the only one.
Suniva and Solar World. Why don't you explain who these manufacturers are and what role they play in this tariff that the Trump administration is trying to implement?
Yeah, these two companies that manufacture solar panels brought this lawsuit or this case to the International Trade Commission. And that's, I left out earlier, was actually how this Trump decision came about, was that the ITC heard these cases. And these are, the interesting thing here is these were two companies that, while they are U.S.-based manufacturers, they've struggled to compete with the cheap imports. But there's also they're not entirely U.S.-based. There's allegations that go back and forth on what counts as a U.S. company. But leaving that aside,
aren't they both foreign? I thought Suniva was Chinese and Solar World was German.
Yeah, so there's this kind of ironic factor here of when we're talking about U.S.-based companies of what that actually applies to. So these two companies brought this case. Pretty much the rest of the solar industry lined up against it on the other side, along with
the U.S. solar industry, right?
Yeah, the installers, the utility scale solar, residential solar, that when we're talking about the U.S. solar industry is what we're generally talking about, not the manufacturers.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, so this case had some odd bedfellows. So on the side basically arguing against Suniva were a number of conservative groups and like free market places like ALEC, Heritage Foundation, and you don't often see these groups firmly on the side of clean energy. And so that was another interesting piece of this.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. So these conservative think tank groups like the Heritage Foundation are very fossil fuel aligned, but yet they were against the implementation of these tariffs. Is that right?
Yeah, they argued, for example, one analyst from Heritage argued that this would make solar products more expensive and less competitive. And Heritage has the Trump administration's ear. And that was one reason this was such a controversial move, was there were a lot of traditional Trump allies who were arguing against this. And while the tariff itself that Trump chose is not as high as what these two companies, Suniva and Solar World, had hoped for, and it's unclear exactly how many jobs will be impacted in the short term, it stands to at least shake things up and put a dent in growth for at least right now.
Rebecca, can you walk us through how this tariff would be implemented? It doesn't happen automatically. Does this have to have congressional approval? When can the solar industry expect to feel the reverberations of this tariff? Does Trump have complete autonomy to implement it, for example?
Yeah, this doesn't require Congress. This is kind of obscure trade law we're talking about. And so the 30% tariff actually goes in effect in 2018. So that is very soon, pending if there is more to come on this and on the World Trade Organization. But basically over the next few years, that tariff would be scaled down. So it in 4 years would decrease to, I believe, 15%. Though, again, I'm depending on the state of U.S. politics, that could change or it could be extended.
And what kind of rationale can they give for this, for targeting one sector of the industry, which just so happens to be one of the cleanest? I mean, what would happen if Trump decided all foreign cars were now going to suffer a 30% tariff? It would really change consumers' habits, I assume. Will this do the same, in your estimation, for the solar industry?
Yeah, this is expected to hit utility scale solar a lot more than residential solar. So when we're talking about rooftop panels versus a giant utility powered by solar panels. And so I think the exact implications have been, it's a lot of this is still playing out. There are companies announcing changes of plans, of whether they cancel plans to expand in the U.S. Or maybe start some manufacturing in the U.S. And that's still unclear. And I think this is in the context of this, of course, where Trump has been very vocal and hostile to clean energy. Wind is famously in clean energy source that he has viciously opposed on his golf courses in the past, and his comments on climate change just the other day, where he doubles down on it being a hoax or that climate change isn't happening. And I think the fact that he's hitting the solar industry in that context, that his administration is so hostile to taking action on climate and that he claims to be saving the coal industry, that can't be ignored. The one thing I should mention, that this plan hitting solar would not save the coal industry. The likely beneficiary of this actually could be natural gas, as utilities were once, if gas is the cheaper prospect, then they would shift plans to relying more on gas in the future, which also has climate impacts. The other night, as I lay sleeping, oh, I dream I held you. Do you know that I hung my head and cried? Oh, you are my sunshine.
Oh, my only sunshine.
Oh, girl, you make me happy sometimes. My skies are gray.
Follow the shift to sustainability with Sea Change Radio on Twitter at twitter.com/seachangeradio and on our Facebook page.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to Rebecca Lieber. She's a reporter at Mother Jones. So can you give us a background on how this tariff came about? Was Trump being pressured by it? You mentioned how he's been claiming to save the coal industry. Were there coal lobbyists behind this? Who kind of whispered in his ear that this was somehow a good idea?
That's an interesting question. There was a case before the International Trade Commission that was brought by Suniva and Solar World, and they argued that they faced injury and unfair competition with these foreign imports and subsidized in many cases. So the ITC, they decided in a 4-0 decision to that these companies faced injury, and that then put this decision before Trump, which is kind of a interesting twist here in terms of who cheers for this move. Bob Murray, who's a coal magnate who does have Trump's ear, he has given the Trump administration various goals and plans that he's told press that he has been very satisfied with the outcomes. This wasn't on his list per se, but I think in that context of hurting technologies like solar, while the Trump administration is rolling back regulations on coal and gas and oil, that they these industries certainly would not be too unhappy with this decision. You're seeing more pressure put on the solar industry, while the oil and gas and coal have seen a lot of these regulations rolled out under the Obama administration lifted. Yeah, as far as exactly who is whispering in Trump's ear on this issue, I think it's since this isn't such a big departure from how his rhetoric and how he's talked about climate and clean energy, I can't say I know exactly who it is, but that it fits into his larger claims on these issues.
When we talk about how this isn't going to ultimately save the coal industry, do you think it might be some of these companies that haven't diversified as much? I'm thinking of just last week, Jim Robo, who's the CEO of Next Era Energy. It's America's third largest utility. It includes Florida Power and Light. And it is diversified, though, and has a pretty large renewable energy portfolio. On a conference call with investors, an earnings conference call last week, he predicted that by the early 2020s, it'll be cheaper to build new renewables than to continue running existing coal and nuclear plants. So what kind of impact do you think this tariff will have on companies that are not as diversified, companies that are just pure coal plays, let's say?
Well, basically, coal companies shouldn't be very affected by this. Again, I think this is more as when you look, basically utilities making investment decisions in the future, both medium and long term, when coal is already not a cost competitive energy source, and there's gas has really come down in price at the same time solar has, and it's become a choice between gas and which has low carbon emissions but high methane impact, a potent greenhouse gas, and it's gas pitted against technologies like wind and solar. So I think that's where you can expect to see the bigger impact on this. And again, it's unclear exactly what, looking far out, what the energy landscape really looks like and how this decision, how this tariff really fits in, because there's so many other factors at hand here, and one is deregulation. But I think it's not correct to view this as a coal versus solar issue, and coal companies would not see a major change even if solar's price were to tick up.
So let's paint a best case and worst case scenario for how this tariff may impact the solar industry. So in a worst case scenario, how would it become crippled? And maybe let's look at the flip side. Is there a chance that this could build up more of a domestic solar manufacturing industry?
Taking the best case scenario is this spurs U.S. manufacturing for solar, and that we see companies, some and many would be foreign owned, make plans to build plants here. And then best case scenario for this is that this doesn't have major impacts on investment decisions and that solar doesn't come to a crawl. And that brings me to the worst case scenario, where this doesn't just impact the U.S. industry. This actually impacts the global market. And because the U.S. is a major consumer for these panels, if the price is going up and it slows global production and drives up prices and solar investment around the world and in the U.S. at a time we need to be transitioning to cleaner fuels and cleaner energy sources, that would be devastating, even if it is a shorter term impact, because we're talking about the next 4 years. So those are the kind of the extremes here. It's likely that at least the jobs and installations might go down. And yeah, it's basically if we're talking about solar's growth in the next decade, there's there are a lot of bullish predictions, but this really throws a wild card in how much solar will grow despite this tariff.
And how long does this tariff last? If Democrats take back the White House in 2020, can this immediately be rolled back? Or is this something that has legs longer than the ramifications of an election?
Well, I do imagine that a future president would be able to reverse this, or at least change the some of the parameters, because we're talking about the next few years. But there are longer term implications that can't just be reversed with a snap of fingers. It goes back to the same economic reasons I was laying out, that this does have a longer tail.
To listen to Sea Change Radio anytime, anyplace, just subscribe to our free podcast. Simply follow the link from seachangeradio.com or search for us in the iTunes podcast directory.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to Rebecca Lieber. She's a reporter at Mother Jones. So Rebecca, just switching gears a minute. Scott Pruitt is testifying before the Senate this week, and you write in Mother Jones about some of the things that he probably doesn't want to discuss, and I'm sure Democrats will bring them up. Maybe you can kind of give us some of the highlights of Scott Pruitt, the head of the EPA, and I'm curious to get your opinion on whether or not the rumors of him taking over for Jeff Sessions as the Attorney General are valid.
Yeah, so there's a lot of issues he's been basically dogging him the last year. I wrote in a piece today previewing his hearing that he came into the EPA and was before the same committee a year ago in the Senate and had several controversies then about his ties to fossil fuel industry. And many of these controversies have just ballooned since then. So a few of them include his approach to climate science and this much anticipated red team, blue team debate, pitting skeptics against scientists, and just exactly if that is still happening and the details there. Also how he's treated science in the EPA, and he has taken scientists off of the EPA advisory boards and replaced them with more industry sympathetic scientists. There's also just how he's managed both his office and the EPA, his travel, some trips around the world for purposes that aren't exclusively environmental protection, but promoting the energy industry, that has attracted attention. He's driven out hundreds of employees through buyouts, but has also hired a few controversial choices, like old friends from Oklahoma, including a banker who had provided him loans, who is now leading a Superfund task force. There's a very long list, as you can tell. The other one I'd flag is that the EPA's in December had hired a Republican opposition research firm for to track and shape media coverage, and that was one of a string of questionable contracts that have attracted a lot of attention. That contract was canceled. Mother Jones broke that story initially, but there's still questions swirling around that. So there's a lot to talk about, certainly. And just this morning, there was another story that broke in the New York Times about an old interview where he was criticizing Trump. So,
yes, Pruitt was quoted just in 2016 on an Oklahoma radio show saying that if Trump becomes president, he would take, I think, unapologetic steps to use executive power to confront Congress in a way that is truly unconstitutional. So is this the next attorney general?
He has his eye on other offices. That's been widely reported, and also just pretty much anyone who is willing to go on the record talks about how he has had his eye potentially on Senator Inhofe's seat in Oklahoma, but now we're hearing that that the Department of Justice could be on the table too.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the show, and you always do great work. Rebecca Lieber, thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
Thanks.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise.
Additional music by Shaka Khan, Ray Charles, and Ricky Lee Jones.
Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.